Hello, Spoiler Show listeners.
Hi there.
We have 15 days left until the end of the world on December 21st as we record this podcast. And so, in a somber turn of events, the Spoiler Show is going to spend the next hour talking about the apocalypse.
Yeah, also known as the day the Mayans figure we would have invented our own calendars by. I wouldn't have to go by theirs.
Dun, dun, dun. Of course, the irony of the Mayan calendar running out apocalypse idea is that the Mayans didn't take into account leap years, and so the end of the world was, according to the Mayan calendar, world was actually supposed to end like 2 weeks ago.
Oh.
We're cool.
Interesting.
And actually, that's a ridiculous understatement. The world was supposed to end like a month ago or something like that. Like,
and are we contrasting the Mayan calendar towards what, the Gregorian calendar, which doesn't exactly reflect what things are like, wasn't there a year or so that was just missing that they just, they had to cut it out?
There's all sorts of irregularities in the Gregorian calendar. Anyways, the irony of that whole Mayan calendar prediction thing is that the guy who did the prediction essentially didn't do the math right.
Yeah, so we're already dead.
We're actually already dead. Or rather, we've all passed into the next age, which is, I think, all that the Mayan calendar was supposed to
It's no longer the age saying. Of Aquarius?
No, not exactly, but, I mean, it's the similar idea.
Yeah, it's an apocalypse of ontological proportions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt has done some research today.
Fun research.
Super fun research.
Fun search.
And he has brought with him to today's episode a list of the top 10 apocalypses. And may I ask, is the dawning of the Age of Aquarius on your list?
Not in so many words, but I could conceivably spin it, yeah.
All right.
Got a classic David Letterman top 10 list here. So, top 10 rated by likelihood of happening apocalypses.
Oh, but wait.
Uh-huh.
The difference between this and a David Letterman top 10 list, just so our listeners don't get excited, is that a David Letterman top 10 list is funny.
And the difference between ours and his is that this one doesn't make you want to die. Because it's about dying. Boom. Boom.
Boom.
Yeah.
All right, well.
So.
Take it away, Matt.
Number 10, least likely apocalypse, in my opinion, is zombies.
Zombies. Agreed. Yeah. I mean, we haven't... There is no definitive proof. Even non-definitive proof, really.
no proof whatsoever
of their existence. There's really nothing to support the existence of zombies except the hopes and dreams of a misguided generation full of misanthropes.
Yeah. Apart from, bath salts. Remember bath salts? That was a big thing.
Really, 6 months ago? How short do you think my memory is?
People thought bath salts were going to be the harbinger.
Your average Fox News viewer or something?
Possibly.
My memory is only as long as the two-week news cycle.
True.
Well, I know it's actually 24.
But yeah, zombies, probably the most popular apocalypse, I'd say, especially nowadays.
It's certainly the most desirable apocalypse.
A lot of people think that they'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. It's the only apocalypse where it's mostly meritocratic
for the most part.
Yeah. And you also, don't have to feel guilty about
murdering, killing everyone around you. Yeah.
Like a majority of the population.
Yeah.
It actually, in spite of all of the dilemmas that we see as being important moral dilemmas in the zombie apocalypse, I feel like it actually significantly cuts down the number of actual moral dilemmas that you would have in an apocalypse scenario.
It's true. There's a lot.
I mean, I've read The Road.
Yeah.
Oh, like that's the zombie-less zombie apocalypse. And let me tell you,
You want a depressing book right there. The Road.
Yeah.
It was funny because we bought that book for my father because my mom read that.
Did you think it was like On the Road?
Oh, no. Hold on. My mother read that there was a lot of, father and son bonding in the book, which there is. So we got it for him for Father's Day. And what we didn't take into account is
did your dad die of tears?
Well, yeah, especially considering the fact that my father does not enjoy stories with children in peril. And this is
the entire book is a child in dire cannibalistic peril.
Yeah, probably some of the worst straits a child has ever been in fiction. So, yeah, I don't think he liked it that much. I didn't really like it that much either, but I don't like Cormac McCarthy.
I actually really enjoyed it. As far as apocalypse novels go, it's up there with World War Z for sure.
I guess out of the two McCarthys I've read, I liked it better than the other one, which is Blood Meridian.
Yeah, this is the only McCarthy I've read, but I enjoyed it. I mean, it gets a little confusing sometimes. I feel like it works on the road because there's not a whole lot of dialogue.
There's only like two or three people.
But yeah. In a book with more than two or three characters at a time, it would be very confusing because he doesn't use...
quotation marks.
Yeah, the regular conventions of indicating... like, not even the irregular conventions. Like, he doesn't even use colons or anything.
No, it's just a line. It's sometimes an M-dash if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm. It's basically unindicated speech that you really only realize is speech through context.
And I think I read it somewhere. He just doesn't like the look of the, you know, punctuation marks on a page. And I guess it could give it a sort of ethereal quality, like out of myth. Like, it doesn't really matter who's talking. It's just that the words are said, but I think it's fucking bullshit.
Cormac McCarthy is an interesting character. That's all I'll say.
Much more interesting than a Cormac McCarthy character.
Ooh!
Hey!
Okay, number nine on the list.
Dave. Aliens. Aliens coming to murder us in classic Independence Day style.
What about if the aliens just come to proselytize us in classic Pocahontas style?
Or perhaps... bring a book with them called To Serve Man, and we think it's, oh, they've come to become our helpful friends, and then, no, they're going to eat us. I think...
What's that from?
Oh, that was a
Twilight Zone. That was clearly a movie reference.
I believe that was a Twilight Zone episode.
Oh, great. You're going really deep.
Yeah.
To the show that no one in our generation outside of crazy...
And there was a reference to it on The Simpsons as well, during one of the Treehouse of Horror episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which that's probably, what I vaguely...
That's probably what I remember it from, and then I remember reading about it. I've never seen that episode of the Twilight Show, Twilight Zone. I've seen a couple. But yeah, aliens.
Yeah, I agree.
More likely than zombies, because zombies are mythological and
there's, yeah,
you know, not existing, but aliens, well, there's a chance that they exist.
Yeah, I think if you just go strictly with the statistics, there's a chance that aliens exist. It seems... unlikely based on everything that we've seen of the universe, but you know, we also have to keep in mind that we have surveyed infinitesimal fragment of the universe.
There's a lot of universe out there, and I don't remember who said it, but like the fact that we're surveying the universe at all, it might just be the worst idea we've ever come up with, because if aliens find out, well, you know, these guys are beaming some shit out into space, let's go kill them.
Oh, I guess that kind of presupposes, like...
predatory aliens?
Colonial predatory aliens.
It presupposes that the aliens are anything like us, because...
Yeah, I mean, I feel like there's so much greater of a chance that the aliens will just be truly alien to us, and, like...
wouldn't even understand the idea of conquering?
They might not even understand that they're having messages beamed out to them.
It's true,
like, you know, who knows the various ways that an alien intelligence might be trying to communicate with us in the plainest terms possible as far as their consciousness is able to understand.
Sort of a Solaris or a Rama type situation.
Yeah, like every time you have diarrhea, that's an alien trying to communicate to you through your butthole.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Alien,
I don't understand. Yeah.
Please quit talking. I just don't want to hear it anymore.
Stop trying to tell me about aliens, so, Jesus.
Yeah, aliens slightly more likely to happen to you than zombies.
That's true. And there's also a variety of crazy alien apocalypses that are possible.
There's one that ties into my number one, actually. But
let's skip ahead to number eight, then.
Number eight, sterility and infertility.
Ah, and or Children of Men.
Children of Men style. I think that, you know, also potentially tying into number one, or just, you know, birth rates are going down all over the world. Mm-hmm. We may just end up at a point where we do not want to give children...
Are they going down all over the world?
In the industrialized world, let's say.
I don't think that that's a biological thing. I don't think that we actually have to worry about that on a realistic level yet.
But on a societal level, people just choosing to have less children.
Yeah, so I mean, it, like,
perhaps there'll be a sort of apocalypse death cult type thing where we want to be the last generation.
Where all of the rich people of America and Canada start murdering each other because they don't want to have more children.
Possibly.
And they're perplexed about why there aren't more children being born.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think that's more plausible than aliens.
And then it turns out that it's just, you know,
I think I probably
the future is populated entirely by, like, Indians and South Americans.
I think I probably think about apocalyptic death cults more than the normal person, so.
Yeah, I think, I mean, to focus particularly on the cult elements of it, I agree.
Yeah.
I think you probably do think about death cults more than the average person.
But sterility, infertility, I could see some sort of societal shift towards that.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps some sort of, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be interesting if, you know, 1,000 years from now, the trend of women in further industrialized nations having children later kind of spreads across the entire world as all of the world's people kind of become a giant middle class, so to speak.
Hopefully.
I mean, in an ideal world.
Yeah.
And then they just slowly keep having children later and later and later, and somehow the knowledge that you need to have children earlier on in life in order to be fertile is somehow
and to
lost.
Continue staying alive. I mean, your chances of, you know, hurting yourself in addition to the child when you're giving birth when you're older, much worse. I mean,
Well, yeah, I don't know what the... I don't know anything about, like, maternal death statistics.
Yeah.
Whether... Because they're ridiculously uncommon in the developed world. Like, they happen very, very infrequently in Canada.
Yeah.
Obviously, they still happen, but it's way more unlikely in Canada because there are so many complications that would traditionally have killed women that are easily preventable or treatable using modern medicine.
But yeah, this one might happen. Watch out for that.
That's an interesting one, so take care, guys.
Number 7, science.
Science.
Possibly the super collider. Just some sort of accident involving CERN. Or
I like that you're afraid of an apocalypse of science.
Yeah, well, I think science on
science apocalypse.
Yeah, like, who knows what we're playing around with? Just bank one atom after another one, and then, I don't know. This is my art student view of science, is that it's great, but kind of scary.
Yeah.
There's a lot of math involved, and that just makes me anxious.
As a science student myself, my science student view of science is more like it's a useless, befuddling... Science to me is...
It takes a long time to do anything?
Science to me is at this point in my career, feels very much like the magic in Doctor Strange and Mr. Norrell prior to Mr. Norrell discovering that you could actually still do magic.
Yeah, did you know that that is being optioned and made into a TV show?
No,
by
I didn't
the BBC?
Know that. Oh, that's
fantastic
be a,
news.
Oh, there's by a, the BBC.
Yeah.
So it's actually being done by a network that won't fuck it up.
Yeah. Fantastic news. Should we make it through the next couple of weeks? That'll be a great TV show for you guys to watch.
Fuck. That
excellent
is
book.
Be great.
Yeah.
That was a fantastic book.
Oh, I loved it. We have 2 copies in the house within, you know, 4 meters of you. So, yeah.
Within Matt's throwing distance.
Oh, well done. But yeah.
Boom!
Super Collider. I'm scared of it, sort of.
Yeah, I frankly, I don't think that that's really that big of a risk.
You don't think that one is worthwhile?
No.
You don't think that's going to blow up someday?
No, because there's so much...
safeguards?
No, just in terms of, like, physics itself.
Mm.
I feel like we don't really realize the level of quantum insanity that's going on in and around us constantly.
True. So the amount of crazy physics shit that happens on a regular basis.
Just on an infinitesimally small scale.
Yeah.
There is a level of insanity that we genuinely don't even really comprehend.
Measured in cray-crays?
Yeah, the smallest unit known to physics, the cray-cray.
Yeah.
And there are millions of cray-crays of shit
every second.
Going on every second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the super collider, while it is a big and impressive cray-cray, you don't think it's going to go off? And,
no, because the events that they're creating are so fantastically unlikely that they just... like wink out of existence almost as they are coming into existence. Like there's, I don't think such a thing exists in physics, in like real life physics, as the sort of reaction that people are imagining would happen, where you have a black hole somehow being created and then stabilizing and enlarging itself
in order to eat the world.
In order to eat the I think that kind of demonstrates a widespread misunderstanding of what exactly is going on at CERN, because I don't think that that's possible in the slightest. So, yeah.
Rest assured, Super Collider is probably not going to go off.
Yeah, that's my feeling.
No, well,
correct me if I'm wrong. Spoilershow@gmail.com.
Yeah. Here's another one, more likely. An asteroid.
Yeah.
I think an asteroid could fuck us easily.
Yeah, well, even this summer, there was an asteroid that barely, just barely dodged us, that they were actually predicting was going to hit us, that was the size of a school bus.
Not exactly the size of Texas, but a school bus would do some damage.
A school bus would do a lot of damage. Like a school bus of rock?
Yeah.
Slamming into the earth at hundreds of thousands of kilometers
an hour. We are hurtling towards it as well.
Like, yeah.
Like, yeah. That's bad news.
Yeah. It would be pretty bad.
That would wreck some shit. So asteroids, I think that's a good one.
They've got a lot of potential. I mean, the asteroid damage, you have a massive cloud of dust, potentially.
A nuclear winter style scenario.
Yeah, nuclear winter style scenario where you have no sun. And therefore, you know, temperatures drop off, plant life can't survive. Though, I wonder, do you think that we're, like, beyond the point where we could truly be exterminated by a nuclear winter?
Well,
because I think that
it's going to be annoying number three, so.
Because I think that we could build bunkers. Well, then, I think that we could build bunkers and then...
I'm sure there are bunkers built VIPs, right?
It's a question of whether we would be able to get enough gas to keep the generators running or to have, like, some sort of power.
Geothermal?
Geothermal, wind power, maybe.
Yeah.
In order to be able to...
You'd get some hella good winds during a nuclear winter.
I think you would, yeah.
Yeah.
To keep a generator running, to keep the hydroponic lights on.
Yeah.
To keep the plant life alive.
Yeah.
To scrub the air.
Yeah.
To feed us.
It's the Dr. Strangelove scenario.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So, asteroid.
Asteroid, yeah, it could happen.
Could own us pretty good, I think.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the miracles of life.
Yeah.
Is that we are flying through space in a giant explosion that's been going on for billions of years.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Trillions of years.
Yeah.
And yet, well, actually, I don't know if it's trillions of years. I just know that it's...
We weren't there.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Yeah.
I'm just guessing.
Marx is pretty old. He's not that old.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're like on a speck of dust.
Yeah.
Flying outward for, you know...
Forever.
Billions and billions of years.
Yeah.
Since the beginning of time. Yeah,
I think we're due.
Yeah, like the fact that... More specks of dust don't blast us into oblivion all the time.
Yeah.
Is somewhat surprising.
Yeah. Do you think that we could pull off an Armageddon type situation?
Well, here's the thing. Thinking in geological time or astronomical time, those sort of collision events get less and less likely as time goes on.
Because everything is moving away.
Yeah. So the Earth got blasted a lot at the very beginning.
Yep.
But
and potentially on the dinosaurs as well.
Yeah. It's going to continue to get blasted, but at a decreasing rate for the remainder of time.
Do you think an Armageddon type scenario is possible, where if an asteroid the size of Texas is
like
heading at us,
like a crack team of oil rig workers could
we do that?
Fly into space
without the space shuttle, which has been decommissioned? I mean, we'd have to use corporate spaceships at that point, or
honestly,
Russian stuff.
I think that in the next 5 or 10 years, as corporations realize that they can go to space.
Yeah.
And it's actually possible.
Virgin Galactic is the ones that save us from,
yeah, like
the,
yeah.
from the world killer.
It's, yeah, it's Richard Branson, not Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
who jams the nuclear core
yeah.
into the heart of that giant asteroid.
What about a missile? Could we shoot a missile up there?
That's a good question. I mean,
is anyone aiming
yes.
up that way?
Yes, for sure we could shoot a missile up there because the space shuttle is essentially a missile.
But yeah, so, is anyone aiming that way? Like,
I don't think it would take much. You would just have to specially build it. We have because of the observation devices that the various space agencies have.
Yeah.
We have a fair amount of advance warning, I think, before crazy.
Because they do bring it up every now and then. Like that one you were talking about, I remember that. It was a near miss in astronomical terms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only a few 100,000 kilometers. Or
yeah.
something.
So number 4 and number 5 on my list are kind of together, but it is the singularity.
Okay.
This could end us good, I think.
For those of us who aren't familiar, the singularity, which is an idea, was it started by Ray Kurzweil or just popularized by him?
He's definitely the biggest sort of evangelist for the idea.
Yeah. Anyways, the idea is basically that at the rate that our technology is improving, which is to say, like, geometrically.
Yeah. Like, we've outpaced that one law. What is it, Moore's Law?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where every 6 months or so, computing technology gets...
processing...
Doubles itself.
Yeah, processing power doubles itself.
And we're still... We beat it, like, just recently.
So there's this crazy astronomical increase in computing power that happens. And so the singularity essentially proposes that eventually we're going to reach a point where the computers that we design are smart enough to design themselves
and better, basically
better than we are capable of designing them. And from there, the computers gain sentience.
Yeah, the Galactica/Matrix theory that the robots are going to come, they're going to kick your ass.
Yeah, slash Terminator.
Terminator, yeah. This is a classic one. Lots of people like this one. I think it's, we have the technology. It's getting closer every day.
It's true. This one becomes more likely every day. It's an interesting problem because there's a lot of different elements to it. You know, it's hard to predict how exactly a singularity-style extinction event would occur for humans.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard to tell if it would be... is it going to be something obvious? Like, oh, the robots have started building giant, robo death machines.
They've got robo guns. Fuck. Why did we let them know about that one?
Yeah, exactly. The robots are forming skeleton men with machine gun arms. I wonder what that's for.
Why did we design that? Why did we have that lying around?
Why did we program them to hate us?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to say if it's going to be something obvious like that. I feel like it would actually, if I was if I was a higher intelligence, I would kill us with stuff that we like. I would engineer
pre-processed food and cars.
I would engineer an idiocracy style singularity where people just stupefy themselves into extinction.
Or perhaps a snow crash / infinite jest version where you make an entertainment it's an entertainment in infinite jest, but it's a video game in snow crash. So engaging and engrossing.
The Matrix.
That's all you want. No. Like in infinite jest, it's just this movie that they made that's so amazing that all you want to do is watch it and you just forgo the rest of your life.
Really?
Yeah. And in the book, The Apocalyptic Death Cult, bringing it back, The Apocalyptic Death Cult of Quebec sovereigntists who are also wheelchair assassins. It's a strange book. It's great, but it's really weird. Their plan is to take this film called The Entertainment and show it at the Super Bowl. So some point where a large number of people are watching, just kick this movie off, and then, everyone checks out of life.
That's bizarre.
It's a great book. You'd probably like it. It's just really, really big is the problem. It's 1,200 pages long.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's really hard to peg exactly how we'll get fucked by the computers, but it seems likely that we will.
They are pretty smart.
Yeah. I feel like to a certain extent, people have already realized that it's easier to to slip the knife in slowly.
Yeah.
On an extremely grand scale.
Another one that I thought of when I was thinking about the singularity was sort of the... it was early on in Warren Ellis' book, Transmetropolitan.
Yeah.
Where people just started getting tired of our lives and decided to upload themselves to the singularity, to a digital world where they could live.
Similar to the Matrix.
Similar to the Matrix, but like voluntary.
But voluntary yeah. type.
And this would be, you know, an apocalypse of the ontological scale. I mean, we wouldn't be a species anymore. We would all just be living in a computer because we like it.
Yeah.
And then the computers would run the planet, I guess.
Yeah. But does that count as a singularity?
Well,
I mean, that's basically the technological version of heaven. I guess if we're going to talk about apocalypses, we have to say that we're doing this strictly in the humanist sense,
yeah.
assuming that there isn't some sort of theological,
classic theological apocalypse.
Paradise
yeah.
That we all go to after we die, and therefore an apocalypse is actually truly impossible.
Yeah.
Except in perhaps, unless it's a theological apocalypse, obviously. So a traditional apocalypse.
That one's not on my list, though. I don't think that one's likely. I think zombies are more likely.
I think zombies are equally likely to, like...
They do both reside within the realm of fiction.
Yeah, so. I would say yeah. equally likely to the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Or, like, I can't remember exactly what happens in the Jewish apocalypse, but it has something to do with all the dead Jews, like, flying underground.
Dang.
To Jerusalem.
It's underground now?
They go under the ground.
Oh, they kind of tunnel their way up.
Yeah, like they just go.
But they're right there already. Like
not all of them. There's a significant diaspora.
So there's like a sort of like a signal that goes up, like
the Jew signal.
We can tunnel our way there now.
Yeah, I should learn more about my people's ancient secrets. But
possibly, yeah. That's an interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I might be wrong.
Well,
for all we know, I'm lying.
The version you've put forward is pretty interesting.
It's compelling.
Yeah.
Though I don't understand why any of it would actually be happening from like a theological standpoint, you know?
Well, it's the seed of the Holy Land, you mean?
Oh, no, I understand why they'd go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
I just don't understand what exactly the Jew signal would be.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, wouldn't that be like the second coming at that point?
There is no second coming. It's the first coming.
The first coming, yeah, sorry. Yeah. The first coming, yeah.
I guess it would be the first
coming. Once he shows up, you know, the single goes off, and like, oh, okay, game on.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's why the Jews don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah.
That's what I've gathered.
All their dead didn't tunnel underneath him and...
Yeah, that would be a pretty...
Going, yo, this is the guy!
I guess they're tunneling because they're buried.
Yeah.
Oh. Not like everyone starts tunneling.
No, just the dead, okay. Jews.
That's what I was wondering about because you just said, I think it was just the Jews start tunneling.
Yeah, just the dead Jews.
Okay, the dead ones.
Yeah, it's all only
that the makes dead a lot ones. More sense.
Sorry, I'm.
What about people who got cremated?
Too bad, I guess. Yeah. That's why in Deadwood, who is it? E.B. Farnham.
Yeah.
Who's worried about having his body mutilated in case there is resurrection of the body.
It's true.
Yeah.
All right, number four. Sort of related to number five. The gray goo hypothesis.
Take it away, Matt. I don't know what you're talking about. Nanotechnology. Oh, nanobots.
Yeah.
Okay, how does this one turn into a hypocalypse?
So,
what's a hypocalypse?
That's a good term. I like
that's a great word that I just made up.
Well, the gray goo catastrophe scenario is
green slime.
No, it's not quite as entertaining as the green slime, but it's
the same color as the green slime.
Sure, yeah, it could be any color it wants, really.
Well, so, no, the green slime was gray.
Yeah, well, the green slime was kind of a brown.
I guess it was blue, maybe?
It was brown. It was a brown sort of
green slime!
Poo-shaped monster? We can look at it after. Anyway, the...
We're referencing one of Matt's
I love
anthologies
it.
Of movie
makes me so happy, the green slime.
What's that one called?
That's 42nd Street Forever, Volume 1.
42nd Street Forever, Volume 1. That's a great zombie on it.
Yeah. Anyway.
You should have thought of that.
The gray goo hypothesis. Let's say that Marcus is working at science one day, just doing some science. Doing some particular nanotechnology science.
Mathematical.
Where you're making very, very small robots, and they can do anything, really. Like, sort of the best case scenario of this is send some nano into you and, oh, sorry, cancer, all these little helpful dump trucks are just pulling it out and taking it away. It's good.
Yeah.
The bad part of this is that, oh, well, we need to make these guys, they need to reproduce, right? They're so small that we can't just be making them all the time. So they're going to pull resources from around them and start making more of them. And then what if this impulse to create more nanotechnology just goes rampant? It just starts eating everything around it.
Yeah.
That's a bad one.
So this one, I think, is about as likely as aliens.
It doesn't have to be as likely as the singularity. Like, the singularity...
Oh, no. This is less likely than the singularity.
No. What made me think this is more likely than the singularity is it's just an accident.
Yeah, but, I mean, the singularity is more likely on account of it is something that would be happening intentionally, right?
Well, it could be also accidental, like sparking of life.
The nanobots, we're talking about an accident in, like, it's an accident just in case of a situation that we don't even know is physically or technically possible.
Well, they're getting closer to developing nanotechnology. I mean,
no, we have nanotechnology.
But it's the self-replicating
Well, forget about self-replicating. We don't even have something that is like a simple machine. I mean, aside from like literally a simple machine, like a wedge or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, they're working towards like a quantum computer.
But even the quantum computer isn't something that would have like moving parts like a machine as we know it, or like
this one could be folded into the singularity, because once the singularity goes
this is one possibility branching out from the singularity. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that this is anything that we would have to worry about as long as humans are in control, because I don't think humans will ever have the capacity to create like nano machines at the same level that science fiction has been imagining. It will be possible.
But if the singularity is much smarter than us...
That's true.
And it doesn't like us.
Well, we assume.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay.
Number three.
I think Grey Goo is extremely unlikely.
Okay. Number three. World War III. Or just nukes. Nukes in general. There's a lot of them around, and... Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's extremely likely.
The classic World War III scenario of, you know, Soviets and the U.S. going head-to-head, not really going to happen. But there's a lot of rogue states, and there's also a lot of...
Yeah, well...
And there's a lot of nuclear arsenal just still there.
Yeah, the nuclear arsenals of the world are way more widespread than they were in the 60s.
Yeah, the what made me think of this one was the classic Vice mini-documentary of going to buy a nuclear warhead.
Yeah.
As seen in the Vice Guide to Travel and also online. Like, it was about a French journalist who was able to basically get up to buying a warhead off of a Turkish general or something weird like that.
Yeah, there's an insane number of weapons that are just kind of out in the world. Like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
I'm a nuclear warhead.
This is another period
in which... Anybody want me for your arsenal?
This is another point at which an accident might also, you know...
Yeah, bad news. like a Fukushima times a million.
Yeah, I tied in. I was thinking about that as well. Like
simultaneous Fukushimas.
Yeah, because that was still like they're still cleaning that up, right? Basically, they still have to shore up the levees or whatever it is that's
keeping
the place up. It's bad news.
You know, and think about the potential damage that you would have from multiple nuclear fallouts at the same time, or multiple nuclear reactor meltdowns at the same time, with like multiple clouds now of radioactive fallout dispersing all around the world. It would be much more difficult to find a safe haven.
Mutating everybody, causing a nuclear winter, all this stuff, just bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the mutations don't happen immediately.
Right? Yeah. You're not going to grow a new arm, but you could conceivably become infertile.
You would most likely become infertile, and you could possibly develop some sort of germline mutation that would then pass down to your children, or you could simply have mutated children, which would likely result in a lot of very unattractive babies.
Yeah, this is a bad one.
Yeah.
I think this one is pretty bad.
Yeah, and pretty likely. I would say that that's one of the most likely scenarios.
Well, it's number three.
Number three. And it is top three to me as well.
Number two is kind of a grab bag, but we've got overpopulation, greenhouse gases, peak oil, all these things basically working out to too many people using not enough resources.
Yeah.
And I think this is that's a really likely way of...
A natural resource dry up.
This is your classic Mad Max type scenario. Like, this is a bad one.
Yeah, that is a bad one, and it's unfortunately incredibly likely.
Especially the way that our food system has developed, you know. Mm. Everything's driven around, grown in farms on the ass end of the world. Like, who knows where half the things we eat come from?
Oh, yeah, and not to mention the fact that all those farms on the ass end of the world are chopping down rainforest in order to grow...
Yeah. More room for
crops.
Beef.
Yeah, well, grow crops that either aren't indigenous there and won't take root well in the soil, so they'll have to like slash and burn that land.
Yeah.
Or not, they don't have to, but they will slash and burn that land to move on to something else. Or you have ranchers growing cows that are farting methane gas up into the atmosphere, where so it's like, you know, insult to injury. Not only do you cut down an incredibly productive patch of carbon sink, but you also replace that carbon sink with a massive carbon source.
Yeah, I think we talked about this. I forget what episode it was. We were talking about the just sort of maximum amount of carbon we can shove into the atmosphere. That article we both read a couple of months ago. I'm sure we talked about it on the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
That might have been in the Empire of Illusion episode.
Yeah, it might have been.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's... There are so many nightmarish natural resource scenarios that can and might play out.
Water. Potable water, that's a big one.
That's going to be a big issue, especially as climate change continues to occur. And then, you know, like the overpopulation thing is going to be exacerbated by the fact that as climate change occurs and parts of the world become unlivable, there's going to be like a mass emigration from the equator as it heats up and turns into a like terrifying desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that there's a lot of scary things.
Yeah.
Fucked up things.
So this is a really bad one.
Yeah.
And we should probably get on this. I mean, this is something that humans can... hopefully we haven't irrevocably fucked the planet, but like, we could start to try and fight it off.
Yeah, I mean, this is one that is 100% preventable.
Yeah.
You know, like, we can't prevent gray goo because that's just such a weird futuristic event.
Yeah.
Who knows? We can't prevent aliens. We can't prevent...
Asteroids.
Asteroids.
Unless... You know, Bruce Willis, Richard Branson.
It doesn't take drastic measures. It doesn't take developing space, like private space industries, and sending a bunch of astronaut oil workers out into space.
This one's kind of fun to fight off. Go buy some food from a local farmer.
Well, it's just simple. Like it's not even that it's fun. It's that simple things that each of us do in our lives right now make a difference. And the way that our politicians, you know, align themselves and the way that our politicians pass legislation is going to have a massive effect on the way that all of those scenarios play out.
Yeah, so...
This one's the preventable one.
To get away from this, vote with your dollars, vote local, and vote against people who are actively destroying the planet with their... ill-gotten schemes and their, you know, short-sightedness.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
So.
Okay.
Guess what the number one is. Go, think about it. What is more likely than these things?
Pandemic disease.
Well, there we go. That's it. Number one. Disease can come out of nowhere and fuck us all.
It's true. Well, it's not even that it'll come out of nowhere, which is it's almost scarier that we'll see it coming. And, like, in a sense, we already have seen it coming, but we can't avoid it because we're simply not good enough at creating vaccines or creating new ways of fighting various forms of disease.
Yeah. So being an optimist as you are with regards to sort of human error most likely not being the thing that causes Grey Goo, Singularity, etc. What do you think of, you know, stockpiling...
It's not that I'm an optimist, per se.
You're a pessimist in that we couldn't fuck it that badly?
I just think that they're highly speculative.
Yeah.
Those eventualities are highly speculative, so speculative that it's speculation based on speculation based on speculation. You know, it's like several layers removed from fact and life as we know it.
Keeping this in mind, though...
This, on the other hand, is something that is just obvious day-to-day stuff.
Yeah.
That we watch happen over and over again.
Well, what do you think of, you know,
like
for instance...
bird flu, SARS.
Yeah.
What was the swine flu?
Swine flu.
You know?
But like, the fact that, you know, we've eradicated certain diseases, essentially... But they are kept in captivity for research. Something like smallpox, for instance. If that got out again.
Well, smallpox hasn't actually been eradicated, I don't think. Because I believe in the last year or so, I think there was a case of smallpox.
Yeah. Well, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it was... Unfortunately, it wasn't Jenny McCarthy's kid with the smallpox.
Oh,
it was some other
hapless urchin
whose parents decided it was a good idea to not vaccinate them.
Yeah,
but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that smallpox was one that was considered like eradicated in the developed world, but was something that still occasionally happened elsewhere, and somehow thanks to a lack of vaccination. I think has recently been brought back on a very small scale and I think probably extinguished again in the United States.
Yeah. But disease, I think, is the most likely reason we're all going to die.
Oh, so yeah.
Don't cough on people on the 21st.
I mean, it's scary enough that I've heard much more knowledgeable people than me talking about how ridiculous it would be if... like our children's generation or some very near future generation would be the first generation to have polio again.
Yeah.
You know, for all of the work and all the suffering that people went through, all the work that had to be done in order to develop the polio vaccine, how preposterous is it that thanks to people not vaccinating their children, it's actually conceivable that polio could come back.
Yeah, if you are not vaccinating your children, you are literally dooming the human race to its eventual destruction.
It's true. I would punch you in your metaphysical face with my metaphysical fist.
Yeah, or his real one.
Justice. Oh, no, I'm committed to nonviolence.
I like to think that anyone you would encounter with that mindset... You know, their life is already pretty bad. Like, they're operating under a completely alien and foreign set of rules that just don't even reflect reality whatsoever.
The sad thing is...
Punching them is not going to make their life worse, really.
Well, no, the sad thing is that their life by their standards is fine and normal. It's only by our standards that it seems bad. By their standards, our lives seem horrible and empty.
Yeah, you had a needle when you were a baby, and you didn't have rubella.
Yeah. Well, no, like, your parents hated you so much they exposed you to autism.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous. Disease is likely.
Yeah.
Very likely.
So can you think of any other ones that might come up? Earthquakes. Earthquakes. Tectonics.
Yeah, plate tectonics. There's the like, massive volcano. That would be what the plate tectonics thing would be. It would actually, like the earthquakes, that would also coincide with massive volcanic activity.
Weren't they predicting what the big one is supposed to snap off, California from the rest of the continent? That's just...
Yeah.
That's one that they've assumed based on the San Andreas fault is that.
Yeah.
That one is due for a comeback.
Who knows? Who knows what's actually going to happen, but... There's definitely a possibility of something like that, where volcanic ash would do the same thing as a nuclear winter would.
Yeah.
What else is possible? There's a lot of things to do with water, for sure. Mm-hmm.
lack of access to potable water, or just water as a resource becoming in check?
Yeah, potable water, and then also as global warming continues, life in the oceans drying up and dying, which exacerbates global warming, which mm-hmm. increases sea levels, which yeah. creates kind of a water world scenario.
Yeah, and we got to pee into a machine so we can get some water to drink.
That's right.
That's probably the worst apocalypse.
And then dive down into the water and swim with your webbed fingers and your gills.
All right, so one more question. What is your favorite apocalypse?
Oh, my favorite apocalypse is the Hindu apocalypse.
Mm.
Because the goddess Kali destroys the world. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one's pretty crazy.
Kali Ma.
Yeah.
I may be falling into the typical nerd fallacy of myself living through the initial
zombie apocalypse.
No, not the zombies. I would be more in the World War III nuclear fallout camp. I want to roam the wastelands. I want to shoot giant ants.
So you want the challenging, you want the sort of moral ambiguity of the road.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
Yeah, well,
you're looking for shooting children in the face and eating their parents.
Maybe. That's depends if the kid is, you know, neat.
See, like, this is a nice kid. This is the thing. I think you're falling into the trap of thinking that
you'd live.
A nuclear apocalypse would be anything like the Fallout video
exactly.
games.
Exactly, yeah.
It's not going to be anything like the Fallout video games.
Well, not initially.
No, not ever. It's ridiculous. There's no way that a nuclear apocalypse would be anything remotely like the Fallout games.
Well, like, you know, society is going to just basically make it back to about 1962 or so.
No, it's going to be like the
It's
road.
Musical choices, it's, you know, aesthetic choices, it's going to look like that. And, yeah, lasers, plasma rifles, that would be my preferred one.
A nuclear apocalypse would look like the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've chosen the most depressing apocalypse. If I had to choose an apocalypse, I would choose zombies.
Zombies?
Yeah, because that's a meritocratic apocalypse. The nuclear apocalypse is not meritocratic. I mean, I guess you assume that you're not part of that initial wave of infected zombies, but that's a relatively small proportion of people. The zombies just naturally radiate outwards, right?
I guess. If you're going with the World War Z idea that living up here is also pretty useful because of the cold.
That's true.
That comes in handy.
Freezing the zombies.
Yeah.
That is true.
But what about
destroy their heads with your
shovel.
What
about a 28
axe?
Days later zombie infected? Fuck.
What are they?
They are a bloodborne disease that just turns you into a rage monster and then you keel over and die.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's a disease, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. You could deal with that one? That
I could.
One? That was kind of fun?
I would rather they be not necessarily the totally scientific zombies that keel over and die.
Mm-hmm.
I would want them to be the slightly magical zombies.
You want the Romero style?
I want not totally Romero style.
You
not,
want Walking Dead style?
Not or pure as, magic.
Yeah.
More like Walking Dead style.
Where, for some reason, after you die, you come back to life.
Yes.
And then there's no compunctions about being killed at that point, because you're already dead. When mm-hmm. there's no more room in hell, the dead will walk the earth, as the Dawn of the Dead poster. No, Day of the Dead? Dawn of the Dead? I'm not sure which one it was.
I thought that was from the Bible.
Maybe? I don't know. Never read it. I did watch Dawn of the Dead, though. Both versions. It's pretty good.
I've watched Day of the Dead. And the
that was good. He's got the phone, and he... yeah, Bub the zombie tries to talk on the telephone. Anyway, let's move to
which is the Day of the Dead the first one? What's the
Night of the Living Dead?
Night of the Living Dead. Yeah. That's the one that I've seen.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie. It's funny.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move to some more entertaining and less depressing subject matter.
That's right. It's our weekly segment.
Yeah.
Sell me on it.
Yeah. You want to go first?
Yeah, totally. Because I have one loaded, ready to go.
In the chamber.
Ladies and gentlemen, I introduce you my Sell Me On It for this week, this potential second last week on Earth.
Of our existence.
Of our existence.
In some fashion.
Water with chia seeds and lime in it.
Chia seeds as in like a chia pet.
Like as in chia. Yeah. chia seeds.
What is a chia seed?
Well, let me tell you.
Okay.
It's delicious.
It's some sort of vegetable? Like,
I don't
know. It's like a grass?
Yes, it's a grass.
Yeah.
It's some sort of, it's not even a, it's like a, yeah, it is a grass.
Like lemongrass, maybe?
No, it's, I think it's more like a brassica or something like that.
Interesting.
But anyways, that's complete bullshit. I have no idea. anyways, chia seeds, when you expose them to water, they grow this little gel coat around them that has the consistency of, like tapioca or of bubble tea.
Interesting.
And they're also high in fiber. They're a good source of a complete protein.
And this is what you're drinking now?
This is what I'm drinking right now.
Does it break down? Or they're like balls?
I'll pour some into your cup so you may enjoy.
Matt, they are like balls. Huh.
Yeah, so they're little globby globs.
They do kind of look like tiny little tapiocas.
Yeah, and they have kind of a very inoffensive kind of mute taste. They basically kind of take on the taste of whatever you have with them, and of course I've chosen lime.
It definitely just tastes like lime juice.
Yeah, it just tastes like lime juice with some little textury tapioca balls, but they're a source of a complete protein. As I said before, they're a good source of omega-3 fatty acids, and obviously a good source of fiber on account of being seeds.
Now, how much of that do you need to fulfill a nutritional requirement?
Oh, I have no idea. Probably way more than you would put into a bottle of water or something.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just a nice way of spicing up your water. Like,
sure.
If you would put one of those ridiculous, like, NutraSweet or whatever.
Or Mayo.
Yeah. Mayo or those, what are those little juice crystal packets? Crystal Light. If you would put Crystal Light or Kool-Aid into your water, why don't you actually supercharge it with something that has nutritional value?
So this is like a complete grain, as they call it. It's like quinoa or one of those superfoods.
Yeah, it's like a little mini superfood, but you put it in your water instead of eating it.
Does it require any cooking or anything? Pop it in there?
Literally, I just dump those seeds into the water.
Interesting.
And they develop this little coat on their own.
How long does it take?
Seconds.
Huh.
Yeah, like it happens almost instantaneously when they hit the water.
And where do you get this?
I got these chia seeds, thank you for asking, because you will have trouble finding them, actually. I got them at Bulk Barn. Bulk Barn.
Interesting.
Yeah, has a great selection of various health-related seeds.
Hmm.
You
just pop it in your water.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd try that again. It wasn't the greatest thing to look at.
It looks a little gross.
It looks a little weird.
The appearance is a little bit off-putting.
Like possibly like frog eggs or something?
Yeah, it looks like you're eating frog eggs or something in your water. Little globs of eggs. But I mean, that's a sweet Halloween thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a Halloween kids drink.
I'm the guy that's drinking little balls.
Yeah.
To scare your friends.
Yeah. You get them at Bulk Barn, and you use very little at a time. Like I put just over a tablespoon in a liter of water. Into my vessel of drinking.
Hmm.
So there's not very much that you would have to use. They're great. Also, while we're on the topic of Bulk Barn, in case you're interested, the most delicious trail mix is called Clownin' Around.
Clownin' Around. Okay.
It has kind of like a peanut buttery theme.
I'm interested. Tell me more.
It's got peanuts, almonds, I believe, yogurt-covered pretzels,
Shreddies. And?
Peanut butter M&Ms.
You're talking my language here. That sounds delicious.
A chocolate-covered peanut buttery thing.
Like a brittle?
No, not a brittle. It's more like a crispy crunch bar or something on a slightly larger scale.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah, it was delicious.
I'd check that out.
Yeah, so in case you're ever like in the mood for the greatest trail mix ever invented, and of course I admit it's a little bit sugary.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it, yeah.
But it's delicious, so whatever.
I think I'd want some of those little barbecue rings, you know those? I want some of that in there too.
No.
What? I love those.
Not in there, though.
Oh, okay, yeah.
God, but
if I was to make my ideal trail mix, I think they'd be involved.
Oh, this is a sweet trail mix.
Oh, okay.
It's It's sweet. I guess it's sweet and savory. Obviously, the peanut butter is salty, and there's salt on a lot of the treats. But it's got a more sweet element than most trail mixes do.
You heard it here, folks. Clowning around. Best trail mix.
It's true. Chia seeds, lime, half a lime, liter of water. Enjoy yourself a delicious, refreshing.
Those would almost super go water. Well in a margarita. They you want to go to the next level? Throw some of that in a margarita. You're helping yourself out in two ways at the same time.
Way to turn this into an alcoholic thing, Bose.
You just said lime, and that's the only thing. Yeah,
that's all it takes.
I just love lime juice with a little tequila and a little bit of a triple sec. It's delicious. Anyway, my summary on it this week is a recent novel by acclaimed novelist Michael Chabon.
Mm.
It's called Telegraph Avenue. I was reading when Marcus came in. It's fantastic.
I see it on the table.
It is a story of two men who operate a used record store in what's called Brokeland, which is in between Oakland and Berkeley.
Yeah.
And it takes place in 2004. Their record store is kind of coming under attack by a local legend, NFL player, who comes back and wants to build a gigantic record funded with his, you know, coffers of cash, and he just kind of wants it as his clubhouse.
Yeah.
And these two guys are stuck in the middle. It's a fantastic look at sort of 2004 America. It's full of references that I enjoy. There's tons of, you know, sci-fi references, music references, blaxploitation movies. There's a kind of a subplot there where one of the characters, his father was a blaxploitation, you know, sort of actor. So cool. It's great stuff. Michael Chabon, probably best known for The Amazing Adventures of Cavalier and Clay, which if you are a comic book fan and haven't read that, you were in for a treat. It's great. It's sort of a recasting of the, you know, Stan Lee, Jack Kirby dynamic. Also Superman and Joe Kubert. It's kind of melding all the classic people who made comics back in the 30s, 40s, 50s. Make it into a great book that won a Pulitzer. And this one I could see going down that route as well because it's just fantastic.
Cool.
I'm really enjoying it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, I think you especially would like it, Marcus.
I probably would like it. I'd like to check it out.
You could borrow it.
I still haven't read the majority of the books that you've plugged on your Selmionts that I've wanted to read, so it's going to have to go on the list.
Yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you have things to think about.
Yeah.
Things to meditate on while you wait in your bomb shelters.
Mm-hmm.
Legs tucked dutifully between your heads, arms covering the back of your heads.
In the kiss your ass goodbye posture.
The kiss your ass goodbye posture, preparing for the end of things.
Or perhaps if you're wandering the wasteland in some future hellscape.
Yes.
And you've happened upon MP3 technology somehow.
Yeah.
We warned you, we tried.
Yeah. Eat an ant thorax for Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only thing I don't like about Fallout. I wouldn't want to eat bugs, but apart from that, it's great.
Why? You eat shrimp, don't you? Would you eat a lobster?
I don't really like lobster. It hurts my stomach. I will eat shrimp, though.
You're a pussy.
And I will eat things that are colored with carmine, which is bugs. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's true.
Yeah. But yeah, assuming you live to next week.
Well, next week
we'll be fine, but yeah.
Yeah, I think next week we're going to go on an adventure.
We're going to try to anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go and talk about some horror movies.
On location.
So check back for that next week. And gosh, I'm really going to miss you guys.
Yeah. If you want to contact us, put into your Pip-Boys at Matt_BOWS for my Twitter. Or my website is thisnerdinglife.com.
And if you want to find me on the internet, it's at Marcus Deca. And moreover, if you have Twitter and you listen to the spoiler show,
of course,
for demographic reasons, we request that you add us on Twitter. Follow at spoiler show.
Yeah, our own personal apocalypse, Zeran the Tester, is interested in having more followers to hear his rants about humanity and how we're shitty.
Yes, in order to more accurately broadcast his demands for humanity's submission, Zeran the Tester requires an infinite number of Twitter followers, and infinity starts with you.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And also preventing the apocalypse too. Also begins at home.
Yeah. Yeah, it all begins at home. So take care. Good night and good luck.
Kiss your loved ones.
goodbye.
I'm Commander Shepard, and the Spoiler Show is my favorite podcast on the Citadel.